Welcome to Fleet Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the latest in our teaching series.
Join me in Luke 24, verse 45. Is it coming up? Are we there? Hey, there we go. 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Love that. Continually praising God. What the life of praising God looks like. Who's been to a conference? Have any of us been to a conference or New Wine or Soul Survivor, things like that? We like those kind of things. You know the reality is about those kind of things or those kind of events. We come away feeling fired up, don't we? We come away feeling buzzing, and we're almost a little bit disappointed that we're back in the real world and we're surrounded by people who just don't know Jesus, and we want to be in that atmosphere all the time where our tents are next to other Christians and we can just go up and speak freely to one another. You know, that is great, but the reality is behind that, the reason we come back so fired up is not from the lights, the sound, the music, the sermons, all that stuff adds to it. But the reality of why you come back so fired up is because you spend about 3 or 4 hours a day in worship. Who spends 3 or 4 hours a day in worship at home? You know, do you see where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going with that? It's not the fact that we are surrounded by all the people with the flashing lights, as I've said, but it's the fact that you're devoting 2 hours in the morning, right? 2 hours in the evening. We know the deal, and the teaching. You're being exposed to the Bible in new ways that you probably wouldn't at home because we're busy, right? And that's okay. But what if we cultivated a continual lifestyle of feeding ourselves, of worship? How on fire would we really be? You know, if we had a gathering like this twice a day, you know, that's the reason why we come back so fired up. Are you with me? So that could be a good selling point for myself and for everybody to spend more time worshiping. You know, just stick your headphones on or even create your own song. You don't have to be able to sing, but just that's what causes the fire to burn brightly. Hallelujah. So, the ascension of Jesus. We've read Luke's witness account of that. We've got a story in Matthew as well, because Matthew talks about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is our kind of our marching orders before he goes back to heaven. You know, our marching orders are to go and make disciples. Not converts, not cakes, not food. He says, go and make disciples. So I want to ask you today, who are you discipling? Who am I discipling? You know, so many of us get caught up in, you know, staring into heaven as they did in Acts. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, did the angels have to come and say, hey guys, stop looking up there, you need to go back and wait for what he promised you. You know, and we sometimes try and, we read books, we try and interpret when God is going to come back or when Jesus has returned, because the angels also said, the same way you've seen him go is the same way he's going to come back. Are you with me? But so many of us get so caught up staring into heaven and trying, okay, and I've written a book on, you know, the apocalypse and Jesus' return. It's going to happen at this time. You've got Jehovah's Witnesses who have tried to predict it for years and years and years and years. But it's pretty clear what we're to do and pretty clear what he's to do. Only the Father knows the time of his return. So in the meantime, what do? We love people, we love God, and we go and make disciples of all nations. And remember, there's sometimes, for me at least, you guys are probably more spiritual than I am. They get in the mindset of going making converts. You know, we kind of think the goal is to make converts, when actually it wasn't that. And it's to go and spend time with people. When Jesus sent out the apostles to go into different towns ahead of him, he said, go and spend time in a house. Like, spend time there. Get to know people. Disciple them. Teach them. And the word disciple is teaching. It's to learn. We're all students, aren't we? We're all disciples, and we're being learned. You know, whether it's from the teaching here or whether it's through the Holy Spirit or from YouTube, you know, we've got constant access to learn, and we should never, ever get out of a place of learning, because it shows humility. And we know that Proverbs talks about that he who seeks wisdom is the one that takes advice. So we should always, always have an attitude of learning. So Jesus has ascended to the Father. And why did he ascend to the Father? He rose again. He rose again. And what a delight that is for all the disciples. He's back. Boom. Oh, Jesus, what are you doing here? Oh, touch my hands, touch my feet. You're back. Amazing. You must be here to stay. This is awesome, Lord. Now we can really take over the world and do what we already wanted to do. But 40 days later, he's taken away again. It's like, ah, okay. Now you hear the story of Mary Magdalene. She's one of the first eyewitnesses. And what does she do? She grabs hold of Jesus. Who would love to hold Jesus? I'd love to hold Jesus and just feel what he gives off, you know? And he says, don't hold on to me. For it is not much, because I need to ascend to the Father still. And rightly so. She had every reason to hold on to him. Why? Because we hold on to what we love. And she didn't want to see him go again. Are you with me? We can all experience this. My wife went to America a few months ago. I didn't want her to go, or my son. We hold on to what we love, and we can't bear to see them go again. And the disciples, you know, I'm sure they were probably a little bit confused. It would have been absolutely amazing, you know, seeing Jesus ascend and going up to heaven. But he obviously wasn't the first to ascend to heaven. He was the first to ascend to heaven after dying. But you've got Elijah, who's taking up in the chariot of fire, and you've got a chap called Enoch. Now, Enoch was a guy in Genesis, and it says he walked with God and he was no more. So that's interesting, isn't it? You know, what does that mean? And that was all before the blood of Jesus caused a way for us to go into the Holy of Holies. So I was just throwing that out there for us all. You're welcome. So Jesus ascended into heaven. He ascends to the right hand of the Father. He left the place of glory to descend, to be vulnerable to earth. And then he goes back to where he was originally from. He goes back to his inheritance. He goes back to the equality with God at the right hand and the place of power. Okay, and we know that Stephen saw heaven, the heavens open when he was being stoned. He saw the right hand. He saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father a few chapters later in Acts. Okay, so Jesus is gone. The disciples are staring into heaven. The angels tell him to go and wait, but they go back in great joy and they go back and worship in the temple. In worshipping, they're waiting. You know, we can worship and wait sometimes, can't we? Just because something isn't happening the way we want it to happen doesn't mean we don't worship. You know, we worship in the waiting, which is what we're all called to do. I'm waiting for things, we're all waiting for things, so why don't you worship in the waiting and let his presence give you the joy in that waiting and the patience that we need, because patience is quite a big virtue on life, isn't it? Yeah, if you're impulsive and impatient like me, it's not always easy being a friend of God. So Jesus has gone into heaven, the disciples are waiting, the angels have told him to go. And it could be a little bit confusing why he's gone. Mary had good reason to hold on to him, but he says, and there's a talk from Sam Bird a few months ago, he spoke about this, and he says, it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit may come. He says, I will send, doesn't he? He says in Luke, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And he says, it's better that I go. And he says in John 17 that he doesn't actually want to go. He says, I want them to be with me where I am. So he wants to be with his people. But he still gets to be with his people. Why? Through the Holy Spirit. And I've made the mistake through my Christian life in thinking that Jesus' ascent to heaven means we get less of Jesus. When the fact is, the fact that Jesus ascended to heaven means we get more of Jesus than ever before. We get more of Jesus, and just as much, if not more of Jesus, as the disciples got to witness for all those years. How? Through the Holy Spirit. That is the importance of walking in union with the Holy Spirit. That is the importance of worshipping in the waiting for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what? He came and equipped them with power. And even says here, amazing verse in Luke again, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Think of the clothes that you're in. Imagine being clothed with the Holy Spirit. I like to think that I am clothed with the Holy Spirit, because that changes atmospheres. You know, we aren't always to succumb to the atmosphere that we're around, but the Holy Spirit, when we're aware of who we are and what he is in us, that changes everything. So he had to go. He had to go for the good of us all. And for us to experience more of Jesus than ever before. And I think, there's a series on Netflix that talks about this, that it's called the AD series, and it's the life of Jesus. And that's probably the best scene I've ever seen of Jesus ascending into heaven, with the angels and the clouds and all the, it's amazing. But I don't think that was a rare occurrence for Jesus' lifestyle. You think about the Mount of Transfiguration. You've got Elijah and Moses, okay, he's walking up the mountain with. I think the reason that Jesus withdrew so much is because he could access that. And it's the same with us. How? Through the Holy Spirit, by his death on the cross. We have access to heaven. We have access to the heavenly places. We have access to the throne room of God. We have access to Jesus through the Holy Spirit more than ever before. We can walk with him like the disciples walked with him. We can hear from him. We can see him. We can know him. Paul says this, I count it all worthless in regards to I go after knowing Christ, doesn't he? He says that in Philippians. But in order to know someone, you have to have an active relationship with them. How could he have an active relationship with him if Jesus was still in heaven, which he is? But like I said, through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit coming, like almost having a substitution with Jesus, he's like, all right, mate, your turn. Come on, Holy Spirit. We can know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's exciting. That's really exciting. But how do we get there? How do we get to those heavenly places? How do we know that it's the truth? You know, sometimes it's a little bit of a taboo subject for some people because you think about, you talk about the spiritual realms, you think about spiritual atmospheres, you think about all this kind of stuff, and sometimes we get a little bit nervous that we're engaging in New Age and ooh, all this mystical stuff. You know, can you relate to that, or is that just me? Sometimes we get a little bit nervous and put off by it when actually Jesus created it all, God created it all. And the devil can't create, can he? It's all counterfeits. Everything that they're walking in, if they are walking in stuff, is only from God. There's only one way to the Father, but there's more than one way to the spiritual realm. You with me? Yeah? Good. Good, good, good. So how do we get there? Matthew 23:12. He that exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father to release the Holy Spirit into earth so we could be in relationship with him. But in order for him to be exalted, he had to be humbled. And we know that, don't we? We read Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He died and he was submissive to man. He was submissive to man's authority. He was submissive to his parents' authority, Mary and Joseph. He went low. We know he washed our feet when he shouldn't have. We are unworthy for him to even untie our sandals, John said, didn't he? So he had to go low, the lowest of the lowest of the low, not thinking himself any better than anybody else, but coming with an attitude and a willingness to serve and to wash feet and to die on a cross. And that is the qualification for being exalted. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm just checking if you're awake and still, you know, you can engage if you want. It's okay. And it's not a bad thing. You know, the greatest thing we could ever do is surrender our lives to Jesus. The greatest thing we could ever do is lay our lives on the altar and say, I'm yours. I am fully yours. It should be the greatest joy in our lives to say, Father, take my finances, take my health, take my life. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. Because in doing that, you open yourself up to the greatest adventure, the greatest joy that you could ever experience. And God will always honor your choices. If you don't want to, that he won't try and tell you to do so, unless you're like Jonah. He was a forced missionary, wasn't he? He didn't have a choice in the matter. He had to go. He had to go to Nineveh and get these guys to repent, which they did, which is a story of the grace of God. It's amazing, isn't it? So how do we humble ourselves? We put others ahead of ourselves. We take the low ground. We put ourselves last. He that's last will be first. We don't think of ourselves as better than others. We don't put other people down just to boost our own self-esteem. We go in humility. We go in love because God is passionate about walking in relationship with you and you having an ascended lifestyle. But the only way we can ascend is by humbling ourselves and going low and surrendering and carrying our cross and putting others ahead of ourselves, loving others like we would want to be loved kind of thing. That's the way to walk in relationship with Jesus. That's the way to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And we are seated with Christ, aren't we? Then why don't we experience that? The Bible is the word of God and it's true. We can sometimes pick and choose what we want to believe and what we want to apply to our lives. And the word barach means bless. So when Jesus says this, he says, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And that word is barach. He barached them. And barach is to bless, and it's to go low. It's to go low. And again, we say Jesus came from heaven to earth. And when we want to bless God, I'd highly recommend going low to lift him high. And bowing down, getting on your knees to bless them, because that's the way that he blesses us. And we know someone who loves to bless. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua, whatever you want to call him. He's got many different names. He loves to bless. And in that blessing, he goes low. And we know in his nature, he came low and stayed low in order for him to be exalted to the right hand of the Father. Are you with me? Good. And this thing isn't new. This ascended lifestyle, this life in the Spirit, this life in the holy place is not new. We look at the prophets of Zechariah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jacob, John, Jeremiah, Paul, David, to name a few. All these guys walked in this. Some of it you can't even describe. It's a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? You look at Revelation, it's like, oh, okay, I think I might avoid that because I don't understand it. You know? We've all been there, haven't we? But what if we're called to remain in that place? What if we're called to remain in that place only by the Holy Spirit, only by the ascension of Christ? And the ascension of Christ means what? It means we have more of Christ than ever before. What if the world started coming to church for spiritual insight instead of psychics, instead of witch doctors, instead of the whatever it may be, the spiritualists? And the way that happens is sons and daughters rise up in their identities and the gifts of the Spirit, in walking their identity as being a son and daughter of God, in their full authority, knowing who they are. There's a lady, John Arnott's daughter, actually, called Laurie. So Laurie Arnott has started up a thing called Spirit Cafe, okay? And it's basically a cafe where you come, but the menu is food of the Spirit. They do serve tea and coffee, don't worry, and biscuits. Biscuits are served, but the main menu is spiritual experiences. All biblical, obviously, okay? Because Jesus designed it, God created it all. So people will come in, they'll have a seat, and they get to pick off the menu what they want. So it can be a dream interpretation, it can be an impartation of peace, it can be healing, it can be a prophetic word. I think there's one more, which I can't remember. But basically, the menu is all spiritual food, okay? Which we can all back up is biblical and what Jesus walked in, right? Last year, last October, they went to a psychic convention in Birmingham. They had 300 people saved. Wow. 300 people saved. Every Friday night, they open up their doors of their church and they say, it's free spiritual readings. Come in, 7:30 p.m. Come to the Spirit Cafe. And that the fruit of salvation is incredible because people are hungry. People are hungry for the things of the Spirit. You look at Hollywood. You think of the films that are coming out. You look at Harry Potter. It's all based on the Spirit. It's all based on witchcraft and things like that, which people are attracted to. There's a desire for it. Are you with me? And you think about not that it's about money, but you think of the attraction, the money that made. You think about Doctor Strange of Marvel. Anybody seen Doctor Strange? It's all very spiritual and all very whatever you want to call it. And it sells. People are interested in the spiritual life, in the Spirit. So all the more, we as Christians must live an ascended lifestyle. We must humble ourselves. The access to the heavenly realms is humility. And it's not just doing it, it's thinking it, because if we've thought we've done it, okay, that's the price, that's the cost. We must transform our minds. But the world is crying out for this thing. The world is crying out for an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the realms of the Spirit, because we don't fix our eyes on what is seen, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen. Are you with me? Good. There's a price to pay for it, and it is carrying your cross and laying your life on the altar, but it's a price well worth it. And we will see this nation and this world transformed by it. And if you're hungry, you can have it. Jesus says you can have it. Because he wants you to have it. He wants you to be equipped in it. And once you know the nature of the Father, you'll recognize that. It's not just a begging, poverty mindset. He'll say, no, please have it. Please, I want you to walk in this. I want you to walk in the fruits of the Spirit and showing the people my love through the prophetic, through dream interpretation, through humility and through love, and through going low and not exalting yourself. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. So I say to you today, get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know how he can take you to further places. If you want to go high, go low. Go incredibly low. Put others ahead of yourself. I want to read from Hebrews 10:19. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to become right into the he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly, with no hesitation. I'm going to read that again. And he welcomes us. Think of a welcome. Think of the prodigal son. What was that welcome like? That's how God welcomes us. A ring and a robe, a kiss and an embrace. That's what God's welcome is like. Welcome team, don't get any ideas. Might put people off. All right? But God's welcome is different to our welcome. Okay? Are you with me? Good. Boldly with no hesitation, for he has dedicated a new life giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. Free and fresh access to the Father. Free and fresh access to Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, but we still have access to by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, by the Lamb being sacrificed, he opened the way for us to go into heaven and to dwell with him, to dwell in heavenly places, to fix our eyes in what is unseen, to set our hearts on things that are above, and to live truly as citizens of heaven, transforming the world around us. Because what we absorb up there, we just push out down here, if that makes sense. Push out is not a great word of describing it. Just almost, how else can I describe it? That's a terrible description, sorry. It's like a sponge, we absorb it. And then we go out just smelling of the aroma of the presence of heaven. You know, I prayed for years that I would have these kind of encounters, and I still pray. I don't want one-off ones. I don't want one-off kind of visions and pictures. I want an indwelling. I want a constant access, like I was talking at the beginning. I don't just want a conference once a year. I want to cultivate an atmosphere and an environment of a dwelling with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is fully accessible after his ascension. And we can hold on to him and not let him go. Because he wants us to hold on to him and stay with him forever and be transformed fully by that. So we know after this, the disciples go and Pentecost happens, which we'll be hearing about in a few weeks. Transformed only by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one thing actually I want to come back to, which we did overread, I don't know if any of you picked up on it, but it's Luke 45, first sentence is, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That's a fast track through theological training right there. You know, happy days. Jesus, have your way with me, Jesus. It's true, isn't it? You know, it's an instantaneous thing. You know, and these guys are fishermen. And then Peter goes on to prophesy these scriptures in Joel just from an instantaneous touch of Jesus. And he opened their minds, unlocked their minds to understand the ways of the Spirit. It's good news right there. It's good news. So when Jesus ascended into heaven, this is a reminder, when Jesus ascended into heaven, we got more of him than ever before. And that means we have more of him than ever before by his blood, through his ascension to the right hand of the Father. We can access Jesus in his fullness.